Welcome. Good to see you guys, and you may proceed.
Mr. Chairman, this bill, Senate File 1058, is a bill that's concerning purchases and acquisitions of by public employers, and it's concerning related what's required as far as work-related purchases for these public employees. And what we're trying to do here is to say that if you're a public employee, that to the extent possible that you can you buy your uniforms and other things that are manufactured in Minnesota, because we're trying to create jobs and keep people working in the state, it just makes sense to put a little business in the hands of local people, as opposed to having Walmart sell it to them or buying it from China. So what I'll do here, Mr. Chairman, is I'll turn my testimony over to Jay Rakunek from the Workers United, and she can go ahead and give you the rationale behind this bill.
Welcome to our committee, Jay. Good to see you again.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much, members of the committee. My name is Jay Rakunek. I'm a union representative with Workers United. We are a division of the SEIU. We represent workers in light manufacturing, retail, and distribution. I am here to ask you to please support this bill. It is a bill that would have public employers purchase uniforms and materials that are made in the United States. In these times, there are enough people who are wearing uniforms and who have been laid off from their jobs that we should be encouraging not only our local economy here in Minnesota, but in our national economy. In terms of, and my colleague from Unite here is with me to talk about the national availability of Made in USA products, I'm going to talk very briefly about products which are made here in Minnesota. Twin City Hiding and Twin City Tanning produces the hides and the leather goods that are then turned into Red Wing shoes, which are made in Red Wing. Senator Rosen, I think some hides may come out of a plant that you know that come into that Twin City Hiding plant. It's a tough go in the summertime. We have a plant in northern Minnesota called Extreme Design. It is in Chisholm. That plant has the capacity to employ up to 70 people, and it wasn't long ago that they did have 70 people employed in that plant who had health insurance and who had retirement benefits. That plant is now down to 12 people. It's a sewing business. They make safety vests, but they have the capacity to make full uniforms. They've previously made shirts and trousers. It would be a good investment in our state economy to see to it that workers in Minnesota have the opportunity to make the uniforms and make the products that our public employees are using. And with that, I'll end my comments. I'll stand for questions if you have them, and then turn the mic over to my colleague from Unite here. And that concludes my comments.
Sir, did you wish to testify?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Eric Dernbach, and I'm the apparel industry coordinator for the union Unite here. Our union has represented tens of thousands of workers in the apparel, textile, and laundry industries in the U.S. and Canada. And I'm grateful to have this opportunity to speak for SF 1058, which deals with the public procurement of uniforms. I see this bill accomplishing three things at once. It will provide a much-needed domestic stimulus during this economic crisis. It will help to raise standards in the domestic apparel industry, and it will make a powerful statement about the state's unwillingness to buy apparel from overseas sweatshops. Let me first provide some context for this discussion and talk about our union's experience in this sector and the globalization of this industry. We have organized and represented apparel workers for over a century, since the time when sweatshops were the norm in our major cities. We were involved in the struggle of the workers at the infamous Triangle Shirtwaist Factory in New York City when, in 1911, 146 workers died during a fire because their employer had locked the factory doors. Since this tragedy, we have worked and struggled over the years to transform what were once poverty wage sweatshop jobs into decent employment for hundreds of thousands of workers. However, despite these improvements, the last few decades have been disastrous for the domestic apparel industry, as the large apparel and retail companies have closed factories in the U.S. and transferred this work overseas in search of cheaper labor and product costs. In the 1970s, the U.S. clothing industry employed nearly 1.5 million workers. Since then, this number has fallen to less than 200,000 jobs. The apparel industry was one of the first to experience what we now call globalization, with its tremendous loss of domestic jobs. As these jobs have been lost in the U.S., the global apparel industry is now one of the world's largest manufacturing industries, employing tens of millions of workers in dozens of developing countries, with China having the largest share of production. Unfortunately, the majority of these workers toil under sweatshop working conditions, many of them making clothing for the U.S. market. Their working conditions are poor because contractors are in brutal competition for apparel orders, and they squeeze labor costs by lowering wages and requiring extensive mandatory and often unpaid overtime work. The standard wages in most countries are about half what is needed to support an apparel worker's family. In country after country, China, Bangladesh, Indonesia, and many others, workers earn poverty wages, work more than 12 hours a day, child labor is not uncommon, the factories can be dangerous places to work, and workers have no freedom of association to form unions to improve their workplaces. Workers in these countries need jobs, but they want and deserve much better wages and working conditions. As I said before, SF 1058 will primarily contribute to a crucial domestic stimulus. In this time of economic crisis, it's important to direct public spending toward the creation and preservation of domestic jobs. The federal government recognized this by passing the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Many states, including Minnesota, also recognize the need for local spending. By directing the millions of dollars spent on uniform procurement to domestic sources, Minnesota will provide much-needed work for domestic uniform companies and may help save or create thousands of jobs. And the state will not be alone in buying from domestic sources. The U.S. military, for example, spends $4 billion per year on uniforms that are required by law to be produced entirely in the U.S. And recently, the federal stimulus bill included an amendment that requires all Department of Homeland Security uniforms to be produced in the U.S. Other states, such as New Jersey, also have domestic uniform requirements. Our union would be happy to assist the state in identifying domestic uniform manufacturers, in case there's any question about where these products can be found. We would also urge the state to ensure that the Made in USA requirement also applies to uniforms procured under rental programs. Many uniforms are rented from uniform service companies rather than purchased, and a domestic manufacturer requirement should apply here as well. SF 1058 will also help to raise labor standards for domestic uniform production. Our union members in the industry typically have good wages, benefits, and working conditions. But the non-union sector often has jobs with inadequate pay and no benefits. This bill's preference for procurement from vendors that provide 150% of the federal poverty guideline for a family of four will bring much-needed incentives for companies to raise standards and direct the purchasing to responsible companies that pay a living wage. We would urge the state, when it enacts this bill, to put in place appropriate systems for transparency and enforcement so that we can be sure that the uniform purchases are indeed going to these responsible manufacturers. Finally, SF 1058 makes a powerful statement about the unwillingness of the state to support what has become a global sweatshop apparel industry. Over the past several years, many states and cities have become concerned about the sweatshop conditions under which their apparel is produced, and they are reconsidering how they purchase their uniforms. I would recommend that Minnesota consider taking several additional steps in this issue. There may be apparel items that the state cannot find domestically, though this should be rare. But in this case, where the state continues to purchase some products made overseas, we would urge that guidelines be adopted to direct the work to more responsible contractors and to help raise standards for workers now toiling in overseas sweatshops. Additionally, the state should consider joining an important initiative called the Sweat-Free Purchasing Consortium. This is a coalition of states and cities, including the states of Maine and Pennsylvania, that are working together to ensure that the uniforms they buy are made under decent working conditions. Our union is happy to work with the state to develop additional policies in this area. In closing, let me say again that our union applauds the state of Minnesota for considering this bill. It will direct significant public spending toward the support of domestic jobs and contribute substantially towards economic recovery. Thank you.
Okay, any questions of the witnesses at this point? We have League of Minnesota Cities wish to... Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question for Mr. Birnbach about the sweat-free coalition for safe, you mentioned safe conditions.
That's called the Sweat-Free Purchasing Consortium,
oh,
right?
That's I was
right.
Close. Yep. Mr. Chair, isn't OSHA in charge of that? I mean, don't we have a federal arm that's already...
No, that's right. In many cases where cities and states are purchasing product from overseas factories, so that's beyond the jurisdiction of any federal or state regulatory agency. In this case, public purchasers have a proprietary interest in setting standards under which the products they purchase are made, right? And so we're talking about trying to raise standards in the factories wherever they are, even if they're outside of the U.S. That's what some cities and states have been looking into.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Burnbaugh, what are those standards, though? If OSHA is taking care of the safety standards, what other standards are you talking about raising?
Well, right. In the case of overseas factories, OSHA would not be taking care of those standards, but they would generally have, in terms of health and safety, they would generally have, admittedly somewhat vague language about safe working conditions in the factory. Some states and cities have a requirement for a higher wage or a living wage for those factories, and a limit on excessive overtime work, a prohibition on child labor, a respect for the main conventions of the International Labor Organization, and other provisions such as safeguarding freedom of association for forming unions, et cetera. So every city and state has different kinds of ordinances, and the ordinance, this bill that Minnesota is considering is very different from those as well. But what's important is that the states and cities have agreed to work together to discuss these issues and try to work together for better enforcement overall.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Michelle.
Mr. Chairman, to Senator,
Senator.
Point.
Senator Tomasoni.
Senator Rosen, that's not part of the bill, though. He was just encouraging us to do that. The bill.
That's right.
The bill itself is just applies to apparel that an employee has no discretion over except for the proper size. And then safety equipment or protective accessories. So that's what the bill is.
Mr. Chair and Senator Tomasoni, I am trying to get to the unintended consequences or the underlining. I mean, there was part of the testimony, so I just wanted to check that out.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Tomasoni, we just spent a couple hours on the floor of the Senate talking about a mandate relief bill. If I'm reading this right, you're doing a 180. And public employers, which is pretty broadly defined, now have some more state language they gotta follow and interpret and apply. Am I reading that wrong, Senator?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you're reading it right or wrong. This is, as far as I'm concerned, a jobs bill. And by purchasing, by the state purchasing from companies that manufacture products either in Minnesota or in the United States, we're keeping people working in the United States. And the company that Mr. Kunick mentioned in Chisholm, they have they make these wonderful reflective vests that they use on. You see all of the highway workers wearing as you drive down the road while they're working on highways. And by encouraging these the state employees to buy these products, we keep people working in the United States. And I think in this jobless economy, this is exactly what we want to see happen.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Michelle.
Senator Thompson, how many jobs does this industry have now, and how many will we have after your bill passes?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Michelle, I guess I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that if maybe one of you guys know that.
I could make some semi-educated guesses. It entirely, Senator, depends on the amount of spending that we're talking about. So if the bill covers spending by the state as well as political subdivisions and including the University of Minnesota, I actually don't know what that total spending would be. But there are estimates that have been made. For instance, as I can give you an example, the American Manufacturing Trade Action Coalition, which is a group in Washington that kind of follows these issues, has estimated, or they have estimates for roughly the number of jobs that will be either created or supported or sustained when you spend money on manufacturing. And it's likely the case, although it's, you know, it depends on the estimates that you use, that for every, for instance, $1 million of spending, you might create or save or sustain potentially 1,000 jobs, for instance. And again, those numbers are subject to, you know, depending on assumptions that you make, et cetera. So I'm making a guess, I haven't seen the data, that the total amount of spending here on uniform procurement could be in the millions, which means that we could be talking about saving, sustaining, supporting thousands of jobs. I think that would be a safe estimate here.
Well, there will be a lot more sales with the stimulus money going out there in highway projects, that's for sure. All right, we'll hear from Senator Day.
Thank you. Okay, let me see if I can get this right. I have Gopher Sports in Owatonna, Minnesota, employs a couple hundred people. I have Huber Tanning that does all the gloves, and people from all over the country brings their hides in for them to make gloves and jackets and whatever. So I have these two groups. Why would I want to tell the University of Minnesota if they're going to buy 4,000, the students are going to get together and they're going to buy 4,000 sweatshirts? Why would I want them to pay $32 a shirt instead of $17? What? And then why would I want them to have to go to South Carolina to get it all shipped in? Because they will then do it cheaper than anybody in Minnesota. And in the meantime, I eliminate my Gopher Sports and my Uber Tanning. I mean, and I don't know. I've been here 6 hours today, sitting and listening to this stuff. I mean, it's almost, it's amazing to me that bills like this even get offered. But I guess I'm just going to take it and let it get to the governor and you guys all figure it out. But I can't imagine anybody in Minnesota that runs anything. I mean, I'll bet every one of us could drive into every city and see people actually putting together sweatshirts and monogram whatever and in just every single city that we got, just about, if they're over 5,000. And they're sitting in these cities and they get to pay 150% over federal poverty guideline, which I have no idea what it is, and I could care less. All my people want to do is get their 20 T-shirts or sweatshirts or whatever and get on down the road. They don't want to monkey around with all this kind of stuff. I mean,
Mr. Chairman,
I don't get it.
Senator Day, I think this is geared toward saving your businesses, not toward hurting them.
How could it, Mr. Chairman, how could this save any of my businesses?
Aren't they producing?
They're already there. They're doing it.
And this will get them more business and maybe even hire more people. I mean, that's the idea.
Okay, we're here from the League of Cities.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just add, Senator Day, the University of Minnesota has a student coalition which is very actively involved in the sweat-free movement. And so they, the students actually have a coalition that looks to purchase products for the University of Minnesota that only meet those standards, as does McAllister College. And those two groups have been extremely active and have been terrific supporters of this kind of legislation. And the thrust of the legislation is to ensure that the goods that we are purchasing here in Minnesota are made in the United States by United States citizens for workers in our communities and to keep our jobs here as opposed to exporting them overseas. I hope that was helpful.
If you took all of the University of Minnesota sweatshirts or any college, I will tell you that Target and Walmart will probably sell the majority, all of them. And where they get them from, I have no idea. And I don't really care. Why would I? People that go in are happy buying the sweatshirt for $14.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Day, I don't think this has anything to do with the students. This is about the people who work and who wear a uniform. Okay, it's not about the students buying sweatshirts or people buying sweatshirts or anything like that. It's about people who work and have a uniform and have to pick the size. And so I think you might be misinterpreting this a little bit.
All right, let's move on.
Jeez.
Come on up.
Did you have dinner or not?
Welcome.
Did you have dinner or not?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Wayne Nguyen. I'm with the League of Minnesota Cities. We appreciate the intent of the bill, but we would like to respectfully oppose Senate File 1058 and would like to express some concerns that we do have with the bill. We do believe that this bill does create yet another mandate for Minnesota cities. Complying with the provisions of the bill would cause considerable overhead for our cities. I would like to highlight some of the concerns that we have. It's not clear, as I see it in the bill, how cities are supposed to identify the manufacturers and if they comply with living wage preferences in the bill. Also, is it the expectation that all 855 cities in Minnesota have to research and contact the companies to make sure the product is manufactured in Minnesota and that they pay a prevailing wage? There is no easy way for Minnesota cities to currently do this. At this point, it's difficult for us to quantify the cost that the change would have on cities. I would also like to highlight that there is another bill moving through the process that requires cities to purchase through the state's cooperative purchasing plan. We don't know if that if the state cooperative purchasing program comply with the requirements of this bill. We do have questions of if a city cannot identify an American company that manufactures the apparel or the public safety equipment needed, what then? Is there or could there be some type of waiver that Minnesota cities could get saying that you made a good effort in trying to identify the company and the manufacturer, but unfortunately that you couldn't? And as this bill moves on, if it does move on, we would like the author and the committee to also consider putting some type of state agency or the state in charge of identifying the manufacturers and the companies for us so that not all 855 cities and all the school districts and all the counties have to do all this legwork by themselves. So if there is some type of agency that would be responsible in coordinating and getting us a list.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. Chairman, I have a list right here that I can hand her. But also, I just want to point out that it's not just manufactured in Minnesota, it's manufactured in the United States. So that says that in the bill. You said in your testimony in Minnesota. But we have lists right here. I can give them the list if they want the list. So that's already taken care of. So, but at any rate, Mr. Chairman, if there's problems with the bill that need to be worked out, I would be more than happy to work with people to try and make this thing work smoothly.
Yeah, she had a couple of legitimate concerns there, I think, that maybe you could, for example, if it's impossible or unworkable, maybe you could work with her.
Mr. Chair,
Senator.
In that I don't like the bill very well, but I know Senator Tomasoni, let's have a roll call on it so we know who we think about this stuff.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'll move that Senate File 1058 be recommended to pass.
Did you make a motion?
Yeah, and I'm wondering does it have to go somewhere?
We believe not.
No.
No. Okay. Repeat your motion then. To send the bill to the floor. Secretary will...
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Letts?
I had a question for the author. Senator Tomasoni, what does manufactured mean for purposes of this bill?
Made in the United States.
I mean, does it actually have to be assembled in the United States, or does it have anything to do with the materials themselves or the source materials?
I think it's made here. I'm not sure about the source. It has to be made here. Assembled here. What do you think it means?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Chairman. I mean, I know if, for example, we were to say you must buy a car that's manufactured in the United States, you know, depending on the cars, might be an American car label on it, but it might be 70% content imported from overseas or manufactured overseas and assembled here. And so I'm trying to sort out what. Maybe you've got a list that, whatever the criteria are that went into the list, but it at least ought to be something that is easily determined. I'm a little worried about a local fiscal impact on this bill in trying to sort all of that out. And I don't know if they can just rely on a list from Senator Tomasoni's folder to comply with the law, unless you're going to put some kind of protection in the bill. For that effect, but I think people are going to be asking this question, so I think it's at least fair to try to clarify that if we can.
Senator, yeah, I mean, you can define manufacturing a number of ways. Typically, states and cities have defined it as kind of part of the final assembly of the uniform, and not the fabric or the buttons or the zippers, things like that. The U.S. military defines made in USA every single component, including the fabric and everything else. But I take the meaning of this bill to be essentially more towards the final assembly. You know, the cut and sew, what we call the cut and sew of making of the uniform and not all the components. So, but it's possible clarification would be helpful, but that's how I take it to me.
That's helpful. Yeah. Thank you.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Tomasoni, on line 15, preference must be given to purchases from a manufacturer who pay an average annual income and wage and benefits
I'm sorry, Senator, the question was, why do we need the 150% guideline? Well, I mean,
including the wage and benefits.
Yeah, well, I mean, it kind of depends on what the purpose of this bill is. I mean, one of the reasons why I like the bill is it helps also to raise standards in the industry. And actually what's interesting is, and I think this might get to, I think, Senator Day's point earlier about Minnesota companies that have to compete with companies in other states, like I think you mentioned South Carolina. This 150% requirement actually, I think, would actually help companies in states that tend to have higher standards than in other states. So if we have some southern states that have lower wages and benefits, they are now going to have to live up to this requirement, whereas Minnesota companies would be more likely to live up to this requirement. So I think it tends to level the playing field and raise the standards, right? Both of which, you know, in our opinion, are good outcomes from this bill.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Dave.
What is 150% of the federal? So what is the wage?
Who knows that?
I don't know the current figure.
You know that? John, do you know?
Mr. Chairman, I don't. I can take an educated guess, but.
Well, that'd be better than what we're getting.
Well, here's an uneducated guess. I would guess it's in the high 40s.
Pardon?
In the high 40s, 40,000 a year.
No, I don't think it's that high.
It's about
950.
Mr. Chair, I guess that eliminates 85% of the people in my Senate district.
We're hearing 990 an hour.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the St. Paul Port Authority, I think, defines their livable wage as $10.13 or 14 cents an hour. It's slightly less than that in Minneapolis. And depending on how the calculations are coming in, the 150% of poverty guidelines, I think the most recent statistics I saw were between $9.80 and $9.90 an hour for wages and benefits.
Okay. Secretary will take the roll.
Metzen.
Yes.
Bach. Bonoff. Carlson. Day.
No.
Gerlach.
No.
Gimsey.
No.
Polk. Latz.
Yes.
Michelle.
No.
Murphy. Rosen.
No.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Scheid. Skoy.
Yes.
Sparks.
Yes.
Tomsoni.
Yes.
And then for those not here again, Koch. I'm sorry. Bach. Bonoff. Carlson.
Okay, for the vote is 6-5 in favor, and motion prevails.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chairman, do we have the amendment yet on the other bill?
Snickers bar here, and a turd over here.
For
the turd.
Apparently, there might have been a little difficulty with the amendment's wording, and I think we're working on it. But why don't you just give us briefly? I think what the committee wants to hear, and I think I want to hear, is that it's worked out. if that's correct, I think we could start with that.
Mr. Chairman, let me just let these two
gentlemen if indeed it is.
Tell you that, and then if they tell you that, then I think you have your answer.
That would make, I believe, our job a lot easier if that's the case. Yeah, we could start. We're on Senate File 9. Trucking industry employment classification modification. Welcome, folks, and I think we can discuss it and then get the amendment real pretty soon.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, members, this is the bill in regards to putting the independent contractor language that's in our agencies the same in all the agencies, so that everybody deals with the same language when they're determining independent contractors. And we had a legislative auditor's report on independent contractors and the problems that they saw. We have been negotiating this language for quite a while. My bill has been changed several different times in order to get it to where everybody agrees, and I think we're to that point. And so, Mr. Chairman, I'll just let the witnesses explain what has happened.
Yeah, if it's I don't mean to. If it indeed has worked out, we won't spend all night here. So let's try to. Is that fair?
Absolutely, Mr.
They tell me there's a basketball game on tonight, and
Twins.
And the Twinkies are. So no, it's the Twins, not the Twinkies. Okay. So we'll move kind of fast if that's the case.
Mr. Chairman, Edward Reynoso with Teamsters Joint Council 32. Your indication that there is supposedly peace in the valley has been achieved both by all parties involved, actually. We appreciate Senator Scoey's involvement, Senator Tomasoni's involvement, and the Minnesota Trucking Association also. So with that being said, we feel that every party, every person involved in the negotiations has a little bit of input into this negotiation process and has come up to an agreement that I believe is palatable for everybody.
This one go here. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm John Houseladen, president of the Minnesota Trucking Association, and I'm also happy to report that we are in agreement with the amendment to the bill. We understand the author has a delete all, and then there's some pieces we've worked out. Fundamentally, independent contractors are an important part of the business model in the state of Minnesota, and we are in full agreement that having consistency between agencies when enforcing the law is critical, and to have it clear and understandable. And I would just stress that it's certainly not been an easy process because every word is significant. But it's good give and take on all sides, and so the language we've agreed to we can support, and we would urge its passage.
Oh, that's good. I happen to know that Senator Scoey and a couple of Tomasoni and others have worked quite hard on this thing. And
so, Mr. Chairman, I should begin by moving the A2 delete everything amendment.
Okay, we've got that. Discussion on that. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Do we have the other agreed upon language?
Well, it's got to be for. Do
you want me to move the bill? Oh, Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoey.
I see a mistake in the amendment, I believe, on line 13. I wonder if the word full is supposed to be removed.
Yes.
So I would move on page 1, line 13, delete the word full.
Correct.
But coming in on this amendment? Though?
Coming on another amendment. Yes. I'll withdraw my amendment.
And, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure what progress is on the amendment. Do we?
Was the amendment close in wording or no? We can adopt it and fix it up. I didn't.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. I was out of the room. What?
Okay,
are you referring to?
I got that amendment. Okay. Mr. Chairman, how come this didn't go to transportation?
I think the jobs consideration. And
the jobs issue?
Yeah. Saving jobs in Minnesota and the United States of America.
Mr. Chairman, we got to have everybody employed here in the next month because
that'd be great.
I've never had so many jobs bills that we're just floating in them.
Mr. Chair.
Contractors issue. Department of Labor bill. Independent contractors. That's why it's here. Thanks for the help. That's why you get to pay that big money.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
While we're waiting, can we just kind of get a brief summary of why this bill is in front of us, what the issue was? Because I'm a little confused about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rosen, This is an issue that the Teamsters Union in particular has been dealing with for the past, 3 years here in the state of Minnesota. It seems to be a growing trend to misclassify workers, not only in the trucking industry, but it came to light during the legislative audit report that was published in 2007 from the legislative auditor. And the reality is that there's a lot of companies out there using this model that are classifying their employees as independent contractors to skirt their responsibilities of paying full taxes, and in some cases, as quoted in the legislative audit report, it's a difference of $7.82. Our current criteria to determine independent contractors is vague, ambiguous, and very unclear. The legislative audit report specifically said that there's a lot of employers that are trying to figure out, honest employers that are trying to figure out what the language specifically means because it's very unclear. And at the same time, there's employers that are using it, the advantages of the unclarity of the language as a means of doing business and using it as competition, using it as the ability to compete against good employers. So I believe all parties agree that are involved in the negotiation process here that something needs to change. And so the goal of this legislation was to clear the ambiguity, clear the words as generally determines, and some of the other words that are vague at best. So I believe we've achieved that, and I think the end product will show and make it simple for employers to determine whether their workers are truly independent contractors or employees.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Stoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Rosen, I believe that he spoke correctly. Part of the purpose of this was to clarify the language. I worked on this issue because, if you recall, last year in this committee, we had a bill dealing with the independent contractor language. And I was concerned, as individual hires independent contractors, that every year when the workers' comp company sends me a bill for classifying my independent contractors as employees, I have to go back to them and explain to them why they are not. And so I wanted clear, concise language that I could achieve to demonstrate to the insurance company that these truly are independent contractors. I think we have achieved that. It's been kind of a long process here. But I do want to say that we are dealing with two agencies here, Dolly and Deed, not the Department of Revenue. We are going to have some different determination about independent contractors somewhere in Minnesota, and we decided it was better to draw the line between Dolly and Deed and the Department of Revenue because of the federal independent contractors language. So I think that this is a pretty good step forward. I think Senator Tomasoni pulling the last of these words together has done a good job. I hope that I get to see the amendment and to hear the truckers industry and the Teamsters supporting this product. I think is a good thing, and it'll help us when we're dealing with our independent contractors.
Got it.
Are you close?
We didn't come back with a broken line.
You want to read it? All right. Okay. I think we got it.
It's okay.
What time's the game? I don't know.
I'm not sure. Who's going to win?
Sit down.
Is this...
Quiet. Join the crowd. It's a serious committee, man.
Make a speech. So,
am I late?
Yeah, because one of them.
Yeah, where have you been?
I'm fighting off the tax and spenders.
Oh, they like to spend, don't they? Boy, they spend a lot of dough, don't they, over there?
You know, they think we can just make it by the billion. You know, they don't even stop at million.
Stick around because we're improving employment here, so.
Well, we need to put people to work.
Yeah.
It's Senator Day, you're coming around, you know. You are.
Put the tape off. Maybe
you're coming around. That's good.
Good chairman. Thomasoni, when you're here, I know it's a union bill. And I'm glad that you're forcing the truckers into doing whatever they want to do. So.
No. Yeah, we passed. Actually, it's the other way around here.
I understand it pretty good.
Thomasoni's first bill.
Yes, made in America.
What are we making in America?
Yes, for street workers.
We already passed that one. You don't have to worry about that one.
Do they have a branch in South St. Paul? That Chisholm?
We're gonna form one. Yes.
Good. They're covered. Then they're done in South St. Paul. They make those reflector vests too.
Do they make them there?
Yeah.
Is it called Extreme?
What?
Is it called Extreme?
I got a good memory. They were in a couple weeks ago.
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering, Senator Thomasoni, why haven't we ever had a Buy American provision for state steel purchases? You know, we buy a lot of vehicles and stuff.
Don't give any ideas. We're trying to move this bill along.
Seems to me it makes, a little Buy Minnesota steel provision would make more sense than vests.
It seems to me that we had that in the Twins bill.
I hear somebody calling your name out there.
I think it ended up in law.
I think
don't
it did.
Give them any more ideas. Where the session's almost done in this committee.
Well,
I have good ideas.
In fact, the federal stimulus bill in the PFA has to have all American parts.
All right, we have. You want to explain this, John, or just came together? That's for we'll have counsel. This is the A4 amendment that should be on your desk.
Mr. Chair, members, there's two sections of this bill, one related to do with workers' comp, one with unemployment comp. The changes that are made to each were desired to be parallel and identical. So what this amendment does is make the same amendment to both of these sections. The only changes, there was some difficulty preparing. We have to add, at the end of the amendment, page 2, delete line 12 and insert paren 7, and it's the same language that you see after paren 8 on line 1.8 of the amendment. The individual substantially controls.
That's correct.
Right. That's correct. The manner of performance. The means and manner of performing the services, comma, in. So page 2, delete line 12, and insert the individual substantially controls, or 7, the individual substantially controls the means and manner of performing the services in, then you go to line 213, in conformance with regulatory requirements and specifications of the shipper.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I'll
okay, why don't both the gentlemen at the desk there just indicate that this is what you worked out and both parties agree to it?
Mr. Chairman, absolutely. We are in agreement with this. And I just want to apologize. Quite frankly, this just came together literally within the last hour. So
I'm aware
I apologize
that
to the committee for the delay.
Pretty happy you were able to do something.
And also, Mr. Chair, yes, this is the language we've negotiated and agreed to, and we appreciate it. And
that's how the system should work.
So
all right,
Mr.
Senator
Chairman,
Thomasoni, did you need further discussion?
No, unless anybody else wants to say something, but I would just move the A4 amendment to the A2 amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, on this amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Now we're on the bill as amended. Further discussion? Senator Thomasoni, we're ready for a motion.
So, Mr.
Chair.
Senator Scoy.
He offered the A4 to the A2. Do we need to adopt the A2?
We did the A2 already.
Yeah, we did. A2 and A4 have both been adopted.
Wait, there's going to be 3. No, that. Wait a minute, no.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman, then I will move that Senate File 910 as amended be recommended to pass.
Okay, well, the to the floor, right? All right, I'd Tomasoni motion to move the bill to the floor as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. I think, does that do it for us? Do we have any more meetings? I don't, I think